Greetings. This is Dr. Essie McCoy, your podcast host of Dr. Essie Speaks Education. I am an award-winning educator, motivational speaker, 6 times Amazon best-selling author, magazine contributor, and coach. In addition, I am the president, CEO, and founder of my own educational consulting company, Dr. Essie Speaks, LLC. I assist you in elevating your leadership skills so that you can turn your challenges into opportunities, failures into successes, ensure that responsibilities are fulfilled, and enhance your capacity to lead. Today's podcast will be very inspiring right before the holiday season. I am interviewing a mother, a college graduate with a BA and an MPA, a former police officer, a mother who served in other positions in which she protected and served. We cannot wait to hear what she's going to do now in making a difference. We have none other than Ms. Meg Carroll. Let me share a little bit more about her background, and you will see not only her path in serving children, young adults, and families, an entire community to improve their lives. Meg Carroll is the mother of 3 children. She shared that they are more than any job she has ever held, and they helped to define her. Unfortunately, she lost a son to suicide when he was just 17. That was a life-changing and still heartbreaking event for her. In terms of her career, she graduated once again with a BA in Latin American Studies and an MPA from Penn State University. She always wanted to be a nun or a police officer. She served as a patrol officer, community police officer, school resource officer, undercover narcotics, and then as a supervisor in patrol, internal affairs, accreditation, recruitment, and training. Meg retired as a lieutenant in 2011 and became a community manager in Georgetown South, a community she previously patrolled. She defined the role of community manager and made it fit the then low income, high crime, 95% Latino majority community. During her tenure, crime has decreased significantly, removing some of the stigma from the neighborhood. I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and when I come back, remember to check out my website at www.dressiespeaks.com. I'll be right back.
Welcome to the new Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge podcast series, where 4 unbossed boss diva entrepreneurs aspire to inspire new and budding entrepreneurs. All are welcome here at the lounge, where we will always have a positive and encouraging word to share. So grab your beverage of choice, your notebook, and turn your radio or laptop up and get ready to join Annette, Kelly, Shankara, and Titania on Wednesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. This is a new series with a mission to help entrepreneurs discover their truth. See you there in the lounge at 7:30 p.m. on Hump Day Wednesdays. We'll see you then.
Greetings. This is Dr. Essie McCoy, your podcast host of Dr. Essie Speaks Education. I am elated to bring you a weekly show where I discuss everything about education. That's right. What you want to know, what you don't know, and what you need to know will be aired each Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Get ready, mark your calendars, and tune in to this show as we keep the pulse on education from an award-winning educator. Remember, once again, to tune in every Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Welcome back to Dr. Essie Speaks Education, your podcast host, Dr. Essie McCoy. As you know, my special guest is none other than Ms. Meg Carroll. Ms. Carroll, thank you for joining us today, and how are you doing?
I'm doing very well today. I'm really happy because we're doing a Christmas gift drive, and today is almost the culmination. We'll be doing some distribution on Monday, but the gifts have come in for over 540 kids and 76 seniors. So that makes me feel, I'd say, joyful.
Awesome. And I tell you, I am just so impressed with you. And your resume is quite interesting, from wanting to be a nun to becoming a police officer. And I must say that I am so sorry to hear about the loss of your son. And you and I actually connected through my giving to families for the upcoming holiday season. And thank you for allowing me to assist. And once again, the impact you have made and continue to make is just extraordinary. So thank you for your service, and you are truly an angel to so many. Also, as you know, education is my passion, and to connect to you based on all of the wonderful things that you're doing, it is once again tremendous and a truly blessing to everyone. And I just want to take a few moments of your time today to just ask you a few questions, if that's okay.
Well, that's fine. I'm more than happy to answer them, and it was really great to get to connect with you, Dr. Esty, and I want to thank you for participating in our Christmas chaos this year.
Well, indeed, it was my willingness, and thank you for just extending that invitation to me, and I just hope that I can make a difference and help someone along the way. So the first question I have for you is, I want you to tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself that can relate to your experience, what you've been up to lately, in addition to you coordinating this big project, and perhaps maybe some things that we don't know about Meg Carroll.
Well, I think I'm going to have to go back a long way to get you to know a little bit about myself that was life-changing. When I was 16, I went to Brazil as an exchange student for Rotary. That enabled me to not only learn the Portuguese language, but to see what another culture looked like. I was used to a community that was 100% white, 100% Catholic, and that was it. That was my world. And I got down to Brazil, and miscegenation was defined for me. And I loved it. I absolutely loved the mixing of the races, and that people weren't defined by their race as they are here. They were still defined economically, and I'm sorry for that, but that's improved a bit. At any rate, it changed my outlook on life. I think that's when I gained the soul of a Latina, or the heart, and I became much more physically affectionate, much more verbally affectionate. My parents were from, you know, the greatest generation. There was no public display of affection. There was no I love yous. And I came back, and you know what? I just had to get used to it, because I loved them, and I wasn't gonna let a day pass without them knowing that. That's what inspired me to go for Latin American studies. So I majored and minored in Spanish and Portuguese, and then I leave there and I go to work for the police department in Arlington County, and I spent the majority of my time translating for other police officers to deal with the largely Hispanic majority in Arlington at the time. Then I left there and came to the city of Manassas, and again, the majority that was in Arlington was now in Manassas. And so it seems like my life's work has been summed up around helping people, let's say that, but also very much focused on helping people of Latino descent, Spanish speakers, helping people who don't have another place to turn. And I like that when they come to me, I'm not going to let them down. That's just a trademark of mine and my staff here at Georgetown South now, that you don't let people walk away trying to find another resource. You give them the resource. You do what you have to find the resource. If it's not out there, then maybe it's not out there. When I said that one of my biggest successes are my children, they supersede any career achievement I've ever had. And I think that's probably the same for many, many moms and dads out there. And then you spoke about my son, who I lost to suicide 12 years ago on December 15th. So again, another life-altering event. And that's the one I didn't recover from, but I was able to regain my footing only because of faith. And I believe that it's led me to do a lot more here in Georgetown South and in the city of Manassas to help people in whatever they need, because, you know, we can't waste another day. That's all there is to it. You learn that, I guess, when you lose a person, but specifically when you lose a child.
Wow, I tell you, that is powerful, and I appreciate you sharing so in-depth with our listeners. And you said something that was profound. You gained the soul and the heart. You know, you work with a lot of Latino children and families, and, you know, that has been my journey as well. So once again, helping people, that is your life work. And I can tell that based on what you shared with me earlier. So I appreciate that. So tell me, who really inspired you? You know, we all have someone that we can point to, or maybe many people, but just tell us a little bit about the inspirational journey.
I don't know if anybody, any of the listeners are going to be able to identify with this. I know none of my friends could when I was growing up. But I grew up in a small town, and when you wanted to, you know, have one of your friends come out and play, you'd go knock on their door and say, hey, can Ann come out and play, or can Judy come out and play? But I would go to the chief of police's door, Joe Grant. He was like Andy of Mayberry. He was like Andy Griffith. And he entertained me. And when I say entertained me, I don't mean, you know, he made me laugh or anything like that. He actually took time, and he gave of his time to me. He showed me what it was to be a good police officer, that you go out and you solve. It's not all about, you know, rescuing hostages and solving bank robberies. It's about helping people. So I was between the ages of 8 and 14 when he was police chief. By the time I was 14, it was a little weird to go knock on his door. But at any rate, he entertained the fact that I wanted to become a police officer. And he is my biggest inspiration. And unfortunately, he's no longer alive. But I did get to tell him at one point during my adulthood that he was my inspiration and that I was a police officer because of him.
Awesome. And, you know, again, you shared about your journey, who inspired you, and those ages 8 to 14, you're exactly right. Those are critical times that we must invest in our kids. And he took the time. He gave you that time. And that's what we must do and continue to do. And the part you talked about, entertaining on what kids want to be. We have to listen to them so that they can share with us, and we can take that as the adults and really make it to work to their benefit. So tell us a little bit, and you did earlier, but how did you get started with everything that you're doing from the time that you thought about becoming a nun to a police officer to what you're doing now?
Well, the nun thing went out the window when I realized how much I wanted to have kids. So that was easy. But when I was a cop, I have to say, you know, police work stops at a certain point. You arrest, and then you don't see it further. You don't help the victim. You don't help the children of the victims, who are the silent victims. And I was never satisfied with that at all. So at the time that I was a police officer, I became involved in the Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Prevention Council. But then that certainly extended the help and the resources to the people who needed it. But there were so many other things that people need, specifically here in Georgetown South. Georgetown South is a 60-year-old community, and unfortunately it at one point was plagued by drugs. And it was an open-air drug market. It certainly isn't anymore. But there's fallout from that. There's currently fallout from the opioid crisis that we're experiencing, not just here in our community, but elsewhere. So one of the things that I've tried to do when I came here as community manager, and I literally came here one day to the next. I retired from police work on April 30th, and I started here in Georgetown South on May 2nd because May 1st was a weekend. And I am supposed to be an HOA manager. I'm supposed to collect dues. I'm supposed to make sure the houses are inspected. I'm supposed to do those types of fiduciary duties. And I certainly carry those responsibilities out and take them seriously. But this is a community that is low income, that started out as high crime. And I thought, how do we address this? Well, we have to start with the kids. And maybe that's a long haul. Maybe that's going to not realize any results for years to come. But I've been here now 9 years, and we have started to realize the results. So there are kids that I've mentored since they were 5 years old. There are kids who are in our tutoring program. We had, up until COVID, started a quite extensive tutoring program. We have summer camps that we run from the kids, and they're all free. And they're all they're educationally based, but they're also fun. Everything here in Georgetown South starts and ends with the kids. And that comes right down to what's happened during COVID, where food insecurity has become a huge issue. But it's all about feeding those kids. It's all about feeding our people. And so that's kind of how I guess I progressed from police officer to community manager, but keeping the same mission in mind, and that was to help people.
Well, again, thank you for serving so many years as a police officer, mentoring kids now, and, you know, serving in that role as a community manager. And you said some very important things. You said the power of what you do. It starts with the kids. It starts and it ends with the kids. And, you know, being an educational consultant and in the field of education for 30 plus years, I just love that, all that you're doing. So I say thank you. And as you shared earlier, you have faced some challenges. So tell us a little bit more about those challenges that you have faced.
Well, I have to say, when I was in police work, one of the biggest challenges was that stopping point. I despised that. The fact that when I would try to do something extra, just let's go with the example of a runaway. You know, when kids run away, we don't look for them. Police don't look for them unless they realize that they're endangered, missing. But if they're just a runaway, but to me, just a runaway should never, ever be a term, because that means they're running away from something. Is it because their parents want to discipline them, or is it because they have a problem? But the bottom line is they're troubled. They're teenagers. For the most part, some of them are as young as 11 and 12 years old. How do you not look for 11 or a 12-year-old? So that was, to me, a challenge that I faced. There were so many bureaucratic stops to trying to help people beyond what was in the rule book. And I hated that. It's the easiest way to say it. I despised that. So I would go over and above, and one of my best years, or all of my best years as a cop, were when I was a school resource officer, because then it wasn't out of the bounds of normalcy to go ahead and help the kids. And I actually started the Christmas gift drive back then, and it was really just to provide at Christmas time for kids that weren't being provided, that were falling through the cracks. And just to let them know, and they didn't think these gifts came from Santa. They knew these gifts came from people who cared about them. And I think it's one of the most important things that you can convey to a child is that you care, whether you're their family member, you're their friend, or you're a complete stranger, that you care for them. But other challenges that I have faced, now in my current job is getting politicians to do what they signed on to do, which was listen to the will of the people. And sometimes when you come from a poorer community, they don't want to listen. But the vote came out of the poor community just as easily as it came out of the rich community. And so I think sometimes when I walk into City Hall, everybody's like, oh, God, she's here again. But you know what? They have to learn to live with their discomfort, because I'm not going away. And what I'm trying to do here in Georgetown South is create a leadership institute that is specifically for burgeoning leaders to come out and take my place. I'm not the one that should be representing the Latinos. The Latinos should be representing themselves. And so that's what we're trying to do, is create leaders from the ages of 13 on up. One more challenge that I've faced, and I try not to think of it as a challenge because I try to just live with it, is 2014, we were getting ready to celebrate our 50th anniversary in Georgetown South, and I went into kidney failure. And that was a bit of an oddity, you know, and it took me down, and they couldn't figure out what was the matter. And then about 3 weeks later, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is a cancer of the blood marrow, or bone marrow, I apologize. And so I've been living with that for 6 years. I did do a stem cell transplant that gave me three years of remission. But I live with taking chemo on a daily basis, doing chemo infusions every month, and all of those side effects. The good thing is that I have a lot of faith, and so I'll go when I'm supposed to go, and in the meantime, just keep on doing what you're supposed to do, and keep your head up, and show other people how they can get through something that is a similar crisis in their life.
Well, Meg, I tell you, you know, in my communication and talking with you, you're sharing so much that I did not know about you, and, you know, when you talk about the cancer of the bone marrow, definitely I wish you the best in that journey. And, you know, I've had too many people in my own family to be plagued with that disease. So definitely I pray and wish you the best. And you talked a little bit about the will of the people, and that is so powerful that you have that voice. And, you know, people do have to live with their own discomfort. And I appreciate you sharing that, and I think back to when you talked about being an SRO, and I sort of reflected when I served as a principal for 20-plus years. I would love the relationship and the work that I had with the SROs that would come into the different schools that I went into. And then I also want you to know, when you talked about the vision that you have for the future, that Leadership Institute, please let me know if there is anything that I can do in order to help. So thank you for sharing all of those challenges. Now let's talk about something that is a little bit more positive, and that is the successes you've experienced and your greatest success. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I have to say that my greatest success goes back to my years as a police officer. There have been, I have to say, I arrested a lot of kids. And I did that because, first of all, they'd committed the crime. But not only that, it was to get them into the court system, to get them the help that they needed. And I have had kids and parents alike come back to me, not in droves, but one by one, saying, you made a difference in my life. You changed my life. And when I hear that, I get goosebumps because that's what I was trying to do, but I would never have known that I made that difference unless they came and told me or sought me out. Now, some of them I know from the community. So I can't say, and I will never take it upon myself and say, oh, I made the difference in his life. I wait, and if they come to me and say that I did, then I am so grateful for that, and I chalk it up as one of the greatest successes of my life. But some of the other successes are what has happened here in Georgetown South with the diminution of crime with the people. This is a community where people sit on their front step. This is a community where people know each other. This is a community where everybody knows me. They call me La Güerita, the white woman, because my hair is really white and I'm pretty pale in comparison. And it, but they shout it in a kind of a cheerful voice. And I say that a success is that you know at the end of the day that you did help someone that day. So I'm not going to count overall career success, you know, whether I made rank, whether I attended a certain academy that was an elite academy. What I count as a success are the daily successes. Today, as I said, I'm counting as a success that we are going to be able to give to almost 600 people on Monday, gifts that they would not otherwise receive and gifts that come from the heart. I think COVID has been probably one of the worst things that's ever hit our world, obviously, our generation. But there's been one thing that has come out of it that has surprised me and also that I think is one of the biggest benefits. It's the generosity of people and people realizing that they are blessed and then they turn around and they want to pay it forward or pay it back. And that's what we've seen this year. One of the things that we always do with our Christmas giveaway is we don't want people to, you know, just expect something for nothing. Just to create a sense of responsibility in people, we always ask that the parents attend a parent workshop. It's usually educational. And also that they prepare a meal, usually in quantity, and we provide that to first responders in our area at Christmas. Well, this year, because of COVID, we didn't do that. So what we're doing is we're asking them to read over, and we've translated it obviously into Spanish as well, 10 acts of kindness that they and their children can practice and simply do it. And we're trying to teach the givers, shop with your kids, show your children what it's like to be a giver, to be one who can bless. And then to the recipients, know what it is to receive and know that you can also give back no matter what your income level is. And you can also pay it forward. So I'd say that's, I'm going to count that right there.
Wow. You know, I listen to you and you talk about really your greatest successes came from your greatest challenges. And I love the fact, and I might even feel this, you know, the 10 acts of kindness. And that spills over into the kids and the families and the community that I work in. And so I appreciate that. And your just acknowledgement that, you know, yes, COVID is the worst thing that we've ever dealt with, but out of all that is generosity. And so thank you for sharing that. And I know that you continue to help people. So what are the different ways that you can let people know that you can help them based on what you have shared?
I think that a way or advice or resources that I can provide to others is find yourself your person, find your mentor, find your advocate. And if you can't find one, become your own. That is so important in today's world, whether it's in the medical field, whether it's in trying to get your citizenship, whether it's trying to get food for your family or clothing for your family. You have to advocate. If you don't have an advocate, if you don't know anyone that can advocate, advocate for yourself. And if you don't know how to do that, I'm only glad to share a phone number where you can text me, an email where you can email me, and I am only too happy to help anyone. It doesn't matter whether they're from the city of Manassas, the state of Virginia, or the community of Georgetown South. I'd really appreciate the opportunity to help.
So, you know, Meg, my educational consulting company, Dr. Essie Speaks Education, is all about sharing those resources. And I love what you said. Find yourself a mentor, find yourself an advocate, or become your own. So please tell us how the listeners can contact you.
So I'm gonna. Everybody says, why do you give your phone number out? Why wouldn't I give my phone number out? I'm not a celebrity. No problem there, and I'm here to help. So my phone number, text or call 571-264-3386. As long as you don't start out talking about auto warranties, we're going to be on the phone for a little bit. The other way that you can get in touch with me is by email, and that would be at mcarroll, M as in Meg, Carroll, C-A-R-R-O-L-L, at Georgetown South. That's all one word, georgetownsouth.org.
So, Meg, thank you so much for sharing that information, and thank you for being on my show today to share with the listeners. You are such an inspiration, a giver, a life changer, and a tremendous blessing to so many. And I know Monday you're going to have so many happy hearts and souls. And so thank you, and continue doing the great things that you're doing. And I pray that God will continue to guide and bless you. And I just want to say from my family to your family, happy holidays, and Godspeed in everything that you do and everything that you touch.
And I appreciate that. From my family to all of your listeners, and to you, Dr. Essie, very, very happy holidays and best wishes for the best 2021.
Indeed. Thank you. Remember, to be an inspiration you look for in others, our greatest challenges present our greatest blessings. May God bless each of you, and may He bless our brothers and sisters all over this world. Thanks for listening, and remember to visit my website at www.dressiespeaks.com, where you can find all the links to my podcast, my social media platforms, books, and so much more. Join me each Sunday at 5:30 p.m. for Dr. Essie Speaks Education. Until then, be safe, be blessed, and make a positive difference in the lives of others.